Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And I'm coming in hot today. I've got some fucking shit to talk about.
Ooh, okay.
We're just going right into it.
Hang on. Okay, we're talking about minutes 76 through 77.
We are.
It starts off with some comfort in bed and it ends with some death in a doorway.
Yeah, and I'm...
All right, go.
We're going into it. I'm calling out a fucking fraud here.
A fraud?
A fraud.
Okay.
There's a fake glow globe in this room.
What? I didn't even notice.
Yeah. It's not a globe. It's a fucking glow bar. We can't be having that.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
These glow bars, they take
coming
away
in, they're
hard,
taking our jobs.
They take away the jobs of honest Arakeen globes.
Can't be having this shit.
Nah, man. We will not stand for this.
No, that's the first thing. This is the first thing I noticed.
Where's the glow globe union when you need them, right?
Dude, fucking.
They would have never let this slide.
No. There's a glow bar in the bedroom, not a glow globe, and it pisses me off, Zach. Can't be having that shit.
Is it still floating?
Yeah.
It's doing the same thing?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe they work together.
This is bars versus globes. I'm firmly team globe.
I understand. It was maybe an homage to the Lynch glow globes, which were just bars.
They were fluorescent light. Like you could see the fixture.
Yeah.
And they just like glued some shit onto it. And
now, this is an old one. Maybe this is it's the version 1.0, and what we've been used to.
What was the name of the one crawler that was all fucked up?
Oh, like Old Maria or something like that.
Yeah, the Old Maria of glow globes.
we're looking at an antique, man. This is an iPhone 3GS they got in the corner. I know we're used to our 14s and 15s.
Yeah,
but there's still a place for them.
No, there isn't.
Okay. All right.
Pretty sure the 3G networks are all turned off at this point.
Oh, that's right. We got
the 2G networks are turned off. 3G, I think, is still up. So.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I got my 5G chip a couple years ago, so I'm feeling good, man. Feeling right.
Bill Gates is streaming into your brain.
Okay. Well, I completely missed that in my notes.
Glow globes.
All right.
I'm pissed off.
So in the room, I'm going to get us back on track.
Jessica's sitting on the bed and then she goes to, give one of the sleeping pills to Leto. And Leto says, no, not like that. So my notes say Leto doesn't like what Ambien does to him and he's so touch starved. He just wants his hair played with. And then Jessica's, sitting on the bed, crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
And he just like lays his head down in her lap and he's like looking up at her, and that's what she's doing. She's like taking her finger like from between his eyes and just like running it back over his forehead and everything. And
I made sure to write it down. This would 1,000,000% work on me.
Oh, 1,000%.
Just, oh my God. I saw that and I was like, yeah, that looks nice.
Yeah. That looks comforting as fuck.
That's how I would like to go to sleep every night.
Last thing he says to her is, I should have married you.
Yep. So a bit to say about this.
Yeah. I had a section in here in my notes that says, I'm sure Zach has some stuff to say.
Yeah. I'll tie it back together here in a little bit, like towards the end of this episode. But
yep.
This thought process is definitely in the books. The scene is not.
We talked a little bit about how Leto was kind of a playboy up until
he met Jessica,
and it was his father that introduced Jessica to him,
they had like a matchmaker, like someone who was in the employ of the Atreides, okay, to find concubines and, you know, potential wives or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, because we talked about how that's all this dude's job was to just find chicks for Leto to bone.
Which is, I mean, hey, what a job, right?
Sure.
No, Leto truly loves Jessica. He genuinely does. Just to recap, I think we've said it a few times throughout the course of the show, but they never married
for political purposes,
political reasons. You know, they always wanted to keep the possibility of an alliance with either the emperor or other great houses or anything like that. They always wanted to keep that possibility open.
Yep.
This, I'm going to read a little excerpt from the book. That comes from a conversation that we don't get in the movies, a very important conversation between Jessica and Yue earlier on. So it's like right when they get to Arrakis, they have this this really like important conversation for setting the stage for a lot of the stuff that happens in the book.
Okay.
at some point, Yue asks, you know, he's like, can I ask a personal question? And he says, you know, why did you never make Leto marry you? And Jessica's like, make him marry me? Like, she's like, no, we never did that for, you know, political reasons. And then, she says this, and this is the part that I wanted to read just verbatim from the book.
Yeah.
She says, the Duke is two men. One of them I love very much. He's charming, witty, considerate, tender, everything a woman could desire. But the other man is cold, callous, demanding, and selfish. As harsh and as cruel as the winter wind. That's the man shaped by his father. Her face contorted. If only that old man had died when my Duke was a son. So we get to see a little bit more into the mindset of Jessica. Like, yes, she truly loves him as well. Mm-hmm. But there's this side of Leto, at least from the books. And we get to see a little bit of it here in the movies. We get glimpses of that, like the, you know, business Leto, I guess, if you want to call it that.
It's business. Yeah.
So we get to see like glimpses of that, but even in the books, like she was torn. She didn't know if that she wanted to marry him because he did have this other darker side to him.
She loves Leto the man, not Leto the Duke.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that makes sense. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to have, you know, multiple sides, I guess, if you're going to hold that position.
Yeah.
So that is the last words that we get to see between Leto and Jessica. Because right after she says, you know, or he says, I should have married you, the camera lingers on them just for a second.
Yep.
And then it cuts out to the hallway, presumably outside, not their bedroom, but another place in the palace.
Yeah,
elsewhere in the palace. We get three guards standing beside this beautiful door.
And more fake glow globes.
We get more?
Yeah. Okay. There's two.
Have we seen a real glow globe on Arrakis yet? I say real loosely. Is the glow globes the, that we
the
saw.
The globe-shaped glow globe.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe these are just Arrakeen glow globes, man.
They're fake glow globes to me.
All right. I'm going to
pissing me off. One of the guards, though, kind of just like waves in a familiar fashion.
Oh, I missed that part, too, man.
Yeah. So
this is what happens when I do 10 episodes worth of notes in a single day. I miss shit like this.
Yeah, I split them up 5 and 5.
Yeah, I didn't. I got all mine done in a single day.
Yeah.
No. A little peek behind the curtain. We are recording last week's episodes and this week's episodes within the same day.
Yep.
So we're pulling a double shift. So yeah, man, I've missed some small details.
Mm-hmm. One of them waves in a familiar fashion to someone who, from the camera's perspective, is behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And we just hear three suppressed shots in quick succession. And I get it. These guys are extras.
Yeah.
But one of them has the most like dramatic shot in the neck, like movement where he like grabs his neck and like throws his feet out from under him, but he throws his feet out behind him. So he like face plants onto the ground. It's so funny.
I didn't catch this, but I saw no evidence of shields.
The shields were not on.
Which seems dumb.
Stupid. If you're a guard, you should have your shield on all the fucking, you know that Arrakis is dangerous, whether you know about any potential plot or not. Like,
and Yeah, I mean, Leto knows shit's going down.
Landville said shields the moment they landed. Guess who didn't turn their fucking shield on? Leto.
I didn't hear him say shields off.
Paul. Yeah.
That's, to me, to us, that's a standing order.
What the fuck's going on here?
I will say more about this as the week goes on. but yeah, so the guards get shot.
They're not dead, but they're incapacitated.
Yeah, and I made it. I was like, they're clearly stunned, or this was like something with poison,
yeah,
or something, because we can see their eyes moving as the figure walks over them.
Well, before we get there, though, we do see the figure come out from behind the camera, and we see them holding what I would assume is a dart gun of some kind or whatever, but we only see that hand. Then we get the cut to one of the guards. He's laying down. He's covered in sweat, which makes sense because Arrakis is hot as fuck. and, you know, we see his eye moving. We hear him breathing and everything. We see that shadowy figure kind of walk past him, but it's out of focus, so we can't see who it is.
Yeah.
And then we cut into just this huge room.
Yeah, yeah. So when the first couple of times that I saw this scene, I thought those were ships landing as the things were coming down. It wasn't until I really paid attention to the caption where it says, you know, shields powering down.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, those are the shield generators, I guess, turning off.
I would assume they're generators for the entire castle because we then see.
Yeah. Yeah.
After. So for some context, we get the stereotypical pew power down sound. We see these, you know, kind of blocks kind of shift into place. We then see the figure move away from a console back towards the entrance of the room. We're back at our original camera view in the hallway, and we see the lights go out in the glow globes.
Even before, like we saw that person like walking away from the control center console thing. You see, effectively, like, you know, the lights that come on in like a hallway, like a business hallway, or like an office building. When the power is out, you still get those emergency lights.
Yep,
those kind of like flicker on,
and they do the dun 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 kind of thing, which I think is so fucking cool.
Little detail, a very very small detail that's really nice.
I wish I could like figure out how to do that with the lights in this house.
I'm telling you, man, you got to get the recessed lighting like I got. With those little halos.
Yeah.
Those are nice. I use those more than I use the big lights.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. Power goes out across the place, the palace. Something big is definitely happening.
Yep.
And that's,
we do have a moment where we can kind of see the figure coming out of the room back into the hallway.
Yeah, I looked real hard and with a keen eye. You might be able to tell something.
You know who it is. If you've seen the movie, you can see who it is and you recognize the face.
But oh, so you think they actually got the actor to do it?
Yes.
Okay. Nice.
But unfortunately, that's where our minute ends.
Yeah, it is.
With the death of fake glow globes. Thank God.
So yeah, some book tie-ins here. The same beats happen. Not the same manner, but the same, like, the shield generators power down, power gets cut out in the castle. What I mentioned earlier about, you know, Leto had that thought of, I should have married you.
Yep.
It does happen in the books, but Jessica and him are not together when it happens. Mm-hmm. He's just like in his study or like in another part of the palace, like just thinking. He's being
thinking
pensive
to himself.
Yeah.
It's fucking dumbass. Why didn't you marry her?
Well, it's like, it's another moment of like, you know, internal monologue and like that we get in the book, and he kind of comes to that realization and he is on his way to see Jessica and tend to tell her all this.
Yeah.
When the power gets cut and all that stuff.
Got it.
So pretty close. I mean, if they wanted to have one more little moment with Leto and Jessica and really just drive home the fact that he did, you know, he does care for her immensely, then they did a great job. That's exactly how you should have portrayed it.
That might've been how it was done in like a first draft or whatever too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. Be cool to, you know, sit down with some of the writers and ask them like, hey,
what did you want to do here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they would ever answer those questions.
No, probably not. NDAs out the wazoo, I'm sure.
Sure. But also like, I don't think the way that they did it in the movie takes away from the sentiments at all.
Absolutely.
In fact, I would say it's probably better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
because they are better together when he says that.
At it's
that
better point. For movies for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the end of the minute. That's all my notes.
Anything, that's it.
Anything else from your end?
Mm-mm. No. Thankfully, this minute ends perfectly between two scenes. So.
Yeah. Yep.
We're starting next minute right in a brand new scene, and we don't have anything to worry about with weird dialogue getting cut off or anything like that. So.
Right. All right, cool. Well, we will be back tomorrow to see what's going on in the other parts of the castle.
Yep.
And yeah, join us then on the next episode. Oh, we got socials.
Yes, we do have socials. In fact, you can find us on Instagram at the Dune Minute, on Twitter at Dune Minute, or you can email duneminute@gmail.com.
That's right. So reach out if you'd like, and we will be back tomorrow on the next episode of the Dune Minute Podcast.
We'll see you later.
See you.